Welcome to the Eagle and Wolf Podcast, which is a fan podcast dedicated to casual, in-depth discussions about Resident Evil and other survival horror games. I'm one of your hosts, Eagle, and I'm joined by, wait a minute, you're not the wolf metal. You're the unicorn metal. You're how we get the spade key in the RPG.
That's right. That's right. I sure am.
Otherwise, man, how many fucking names have you had? Dr. Rude, Minister of Madness, I guess was one. James, Peter Benjamin Parker, Alexander Ramos, as I used to call you. Welcome.
That's a lot of doxing for one introduction, but thanks, man. Happy to be here. dusting myself off after a long stay in my sarcophagus. But you know, it's nice to be among the, well, living, I guess is a stretch, but you know.
Yeah, this is not the podcast of the living. No. We prioritize the dead on this show.
That's right.
We believe in after dead, not aftercare. Anyway.
Wow.
So I wanted to ask, kind of like, since our listeners don't really know you that well, they don't know kind of the dude that you're about in terms of survival horror and terms like that. But you're one of the few people I know that prioritizes a no-hit run on in which games in particular do you do no-hit runs?
It's most like anything that's zombie related. Like, I don't like the idea that like a bite isn't the end of the game. You shouldn't be allowed to get bit and not have like some actual cure that isn't like a green plant. You know, like, and there needs to be, like, for, like, you know, there's sometimes a bite happens for story reasons. And then for story reasons, you go get a cure. That's fine. But I don't like it when you're just, like, bit by a zombie and you keep going. No, that's the end of the game. Game over. Reload.
Yeah, there's been too many fan theories on how is it that these characters have not aged and also still retain, you know, their senses. Despite most of them in canon being infected.
Right. Again, it's mostly anything specifically like that. If there is some, we're going to call it element of infection, whether it be by zombification or parasitic or whatever the case may be, I don't like the idea of you being able to take it and keep going.
I feel that. Do you have, just off the top of your dome, do you have like a favorite Resi?
Yeah, it's three, my guy.
Oh, it's three. OG three or Remake three?
I don't seem to dislike Remake three as much as a lot of people seem to. Like,
there is vitriol over it, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Especially like in the comparison Olympics when comparing it to the original. I think that just by the very virtue of the remake, like, being a more modern game, it has a lot of things going for it, but all the memories I have, so 3, which is weird, was my first Resident Evil game.
Well, my first was 2, so I'm as weird as you.
So all of the memories I have are attached to the OG.
Same. That's my favorite Resi, so we're simpatico there. But today's show, it's an interesting show. It's a top five, but of horror, as survival horror is a subgenre of horror, but we wanted to branch it out. That way we get some understanding of what constitutes a horror character. Mind you, these are characters. They don't necessarily have to be the pro tags. Maybe
also
some on our list. Sorry.
It's okay. I was just gonna say this also happened because your guest host can't determine the difference between a horror and a survival horror game.
Well, I wasn't gonna say all that, but there you go.
Sorry, I'm out myself.
So I think we should go from 5 to 1, and before 1, ooh, we just do honorable mentions. Okay. I mean, it's almost like we've done this show before,
right?
So I'm gonna start it off with a contentious pick because, ooh, as the guest host here asked, does my pro tag have to be powered? And then I struggled to answer. No.
The question was, in order for it to be survival horror, does the pro tag have to be unpowered?
Right. And then I reversed that because I remember my number five pick. My number five pick is Parasite Eve, Aya Braia. Fuck.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so like immediately, no. Yeah, I have to allow powers, you know.
Right.
Fucking energy shot? Come on. Necrosis in Parasite Eve 2 is OP as fuck. Anyway, such a fucking badass. The third birthday doesn't count. Square, you could just remake Parasite Eve 1. Could you imagine that with like the gameplay of 15 or 16? Jesus, yeah, that would be beautiful. Great. I would love to see some mitochondria creatures in that fucking disgusting, like, effects engine that they have right now. I don't know what they're using, but it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like a hallway game. I wouldn't like that. But Aya, anyway, what is there to say? First of all, first thing, this woman, impeccable style.
Yep.
Always graceful. Always with a good jacket. First game, black leather jacket. Second game, a good jean desert jacket. She's prepped for anything, and she takes no guff. I think I'm gonna
feel like that's gonna be a recurring theme on our list, though.
Yeah, just incredible like willpower has to be like the bar none minimum for this. Now you're number five.
So I am kind of a basic bitch because I thought a lot of my list was going to end up being protagonists, but it ended up not being. But my choice at number five is a bit of an odd one because it's a character who's technically another character. My choice for number five is, and again, this is goes into me being a basic bitch, is Pyramid Head.
Ooh.
Now, is Pyramid Head a character in and of itself?
From here going forward, we're gonna spoilers for reason, like, you know, for the inevitable Silent Hill 2 remake show. He's a character, and if anything,
but he's just a manifestation of James's guilt, isn't he?
But
or his need to be punished.
But you could also say he is the real James. Because he's all what James has built up and repressed, manifested unto itself.
But, so then, is James's guilt so strong that it can survive without James?
I mean, according to Silent Hill 2, the movie, it does.
Well, it's not just the movie, because, like...
Oh, most of the endings, actually.
Yeah, and then also, like, at the ending of Homecoming... You straight up see fucking A, there's two of them.
Right.
And you straight up see them making a third.
Yeah,
in one of the endings of Homecoming.
I'm going to be real with you.
Uh-huh.
I don't consider anything after Silent Hill 3 canon, so that's
Look,
just me.
Fuck you, Adrian, all right? Because that breaks my point. My point is that I find it such a fascinating character, because if you do like consider like his lore as a whole, it's literally a manifestation of guilt that was so strong that it survives with... Because for all intents and purposes, after James, everyone else that goes into Silent Hill produces their own manifestations.
Yeah.
One of the exceptions being, though, is Pyramid Head, who seems to be a remnant of James. It's like James has scarred Silent Hill, and that scar is Pyramid Head.
Which, we could do a whole show on Pyramid Head. I'll save that. I forgot what episode this is. This episode's about favorite characters, but it's a great character.
And I feel like inarguably it is like the one of the most iconic like figures of the Silent Hill series.
Oh, 100%. It's next to the bobblehead nurses. It's probably the most iconic character, aside from the score. So my number four, it is a Redfield, but it's the one with the fucking biceps that breaks boulders. I fucking love Chris, despite what 8 makes me want to not like Chris. But I do like Chris. If I could pick a favorite Chris, because no Chrises are the same, it's Resident Evil Code Veronica Chris. Look at every character model of Chris is different.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And the writing is so inconsistent on the characters, because Leon is either depressed or so cool, and you have no fucking barometer.
I mean, I kind of get that.
And then every 5 seconds, Chris Redfield loses a team, and he has to relearn the lesson. It's like fucking Gohan in Dragon Ball. Just stop learning the same lesson. Sacrifices have to be made.
Code Veronica Chris is like the Freddie Prinze Jr. looking ass Chris, isn't it?
I fucking love that Chris.
Oh, he's so God.
And he gets wrecked by Wesker. So the next time in canon, he's just shredded and swole because he doesn't want to get his hands whooped again by Albert. Anyway, that's, yeah, Redfield. I fucking love Chris. I only wanted a Redfield in my top five. I just love the brothers. The brothers.
That's fair.
All right. Your number four, sir.
So I'm going to stick to theme here. And we're going to go with the tyrant killing badass herself. It's Jill Valentine.
Okay. Number four. Hell yeah.
Number four. Yeah.
Which, funny enough, these two partner duos for Resi 1. Yeah. So there you go.
Exactly. So, I mean, again, you've got a character who's there from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Kills, like, what? Like, four tyrants throughout her history in the game? In the games? At least three for sure. Wait, Nemesis counts as a tyrant, right?
Nemesis is a tyrant.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, there's three.
There's Tyrant in one.
Yeah. Nemi. And then, fucking Revelation. She kills another tyrant.
Oh, that's right. God.
So three. So anyway, tyrant killing badass. But then, because of course she fucking does, her story basically ends with her being saved by some boulder punching asshole. Because what happens? She gets fucking captured.
Yeah.
She gets, but no, but, oh, that's right. Fucking Wesker captures her. Uses her to inoculate fucking, what the fuck is this? Ouroboros. But she's immune because of the fucking T-virus that Nemi gave her. Oh, but that makes her perfect to make the perfect Ouroboros. And then she becomes, and then the worst thing that happens to her is she becomes blonde. And then she gets fucking mind controlled. Yeah. And then she gets fucking mind controlled, only for it to be like Chris using his boulder punching biceps to like rip the fucking fan service superpower pump out of her chest.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. That's probably the one thing I'm most excited for the inevitable Resident Evil 5 remake, is where we get maybe a fix on Jill's story. Because I don't like the mind. Look, mind control's fun and all, but
Well, it lasts two fucking games too, which is annoying.
Indeed. Anyway,
but yeah, so that's my number five again, number four, you're right. Excluding the last bit where she ends up having to be saved by Chris. She in general maintains her status as like a badass female character throughout the series. And then also, you know, that, blue top in three, is, formative.
Ah, the
young unicorn,
the tube top miniskirt combo.
Uh huh.
And where she slaps the shit out of Carlos and tells him, snap out of it. Fucking get to it, motherfucker.
Yeah.
We got to save ourselves. Yeah. Like, yeah, dude, the fucking Ellen Ripley, Linda Hamilton came out, you know?
Yep.
So my number three, speaking of female pro tags, fucking, and you went Pyramid Head. I'm going to go with, I think, a super overlooked character, Heather Mason from Silent Hill 3, dude.
Oh, interesting.
I fucking love her. For a 16-year-old to be put in that situation and essentially having to kill God. And it's kind of like this weird metaphor for a teen carrying an unwanted pregnancy. It's like you have all these metaphors, and then just her having to carry Douglas to the end, the private investigator who couldn't do shit at the end, and she had to save the world. Like, props to this bitch. And not only that, to have to do all that and still rock that awesome Sailor Moon alternative costume that gives her like that special beam power. Also, she gets a lightsaber. Fuck you. Awesome.
Okay.
I'm all here for Heather Mason. Good shit on her. And you know what? Her last name's a fucking spoiler.
Oh, right.
Because we're not supposed to know, but fuck it. We already did that. You're right. Number three, sir.
So, for number three, I was a little torn on, like, where to put this person on my list. But, number three is going to be William Afton. William Afton is the primary antagonist of the Five Nights at Freddy's games.
Well, though, that is horror.
Uh-huh. And you want to talk about the very definition of this motherfucker will not die.
So that's the guy who possesses Freddy, right? The main guy.
No. Freddy is possessed by the soul of a child. So here, I'll get into it really quickly. He figures out the stuff is that about the stuff called Remnant, and Remnant might be the secret to eternal life, right?
Right.
So in the process of creating freaky animatronics that can harvest Remnant, he accidentally kills his daughter. And then this results in him going crazy, and it eventually leads to the death of his son. And then he goes full crazy and purposefully kills five kids. And those are the souls that, like, occupy, like, the primary animatronics that we meet in, like, the first game. Then those five kids scare the shit out of him, and he hides in one of the animatronic suits. It's called the Springlock suit, and it snaps and kills him inside. But he's so filled with hate that he doesn't die. In fact, he survives when his other son, his older son, Michael Afton, shows up to burn down the pizza place. Michael basically is trying to slowly erase his father from existence. So he burns down a pizza place. He survives that. He burns down the second pizza place. And then he's technically dead at that point. But this motherfucker is so evil that data about him on a recovered hard drive infects a mimic robot. And he comes back to life via that. And as a computer virus.
Jesus, God. He's Ocelot.
Yeah. Yeah, like, again, this is, like, true. Like, the whole thing is he cannot die. I will always come back. And up until, like, so far, that has been the case. This dude's a bastard. He is an absolute monster of a man. You know, has led to, Googleplex of hours worth of speculation from the Five Nights at Freddy's community. So that alone, I think, deserves him some accolades.
And it made the career of MatPat, I would argue.
Much to his chagrin, yes, I'm sure.
So it's funny that you said this guy was so... This is the villain, right? And he won't die, right?
Won't stay dead anyway.
Won't stay dead. That's so funny because my number two is a motherfucker that won't stay dead. Albert Wesker.
God damn it.
Come on, man. He is literally too cool for the game.
Yep.
And, you know, you don't even know if he's British or not. Because, like, some games he has, like, a British accent. And then other games he's just a fucking Valley blonde from MIT who's, like, cocky. And he's talking shit to William Birkin, like, my T-virus is better than your G-virus. You know, fucking talking shit. And also, he's so unbelievably petty. He fucking hates on Claire and Code Veronica just because she's related to Chris.
Just
having the same last name was like, no, it's on site.
Yeah, I get it, man.
But yeah.
Look, dude, if Leon had a sister, I'd hate her too. What? Amanda Kennedy? No, fuck that bitch.
Well, we don't know anything about Leon's family. I'm pretty sure he has a brother named Dante, though. Anyway.
Wow.
They fucking look too similar.
Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead.
Also, Cody from Street Fighter. Anyway, I really do feel that Albert, the series needs, like, a constant villainous threat. And I feel Resident Evil lost it. When they lost Albert, they lost that. They lost a little bit of that. And I don't know, because you went from Umbrella to Wesker, and now it's just everything kind of goes back to Umbrella. And
right.
Don't get me wrong, I love Umbrella. We all like Umbrella. We all, you know, you dressed up as an Umbrella soldier a few times, I think, right?
Yeah, but mostly from, I was a Centurion from the movies.
Ooh. Yeah, we did review one movie. We were meant to review the rest. The first movie's not bad. The first movie's not bad. Anyway.
I agree. I think that that's one of those things that gets like a weird amount of hate for no fucking reason. It's a fun movie. I don't care what anyone fucking
It's allowed to be fun.
And like that, and my biggest problem is that like that movie gets hate because of its story. From Resident Evil fans, a game series which historically doesn't have real cohesive storytelling.
No, it doesn't. The first two games are riddled with inconsistencies, and you don't even know which story is canon or not.
Right.
Like, I can't tell you for the life of me what's considered canon in Resident Evil 1, because all four characters leave, but you don't see Rebecca when you're Jill, and you don't see Barry when you're Chris. So
right.
Make it make sense, but they'll never do it. Unless they are talking about a remake.
Oh my god.
So that'd be one make.
Oh, great.
My phone's already hating me because of how many times I put remake.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's my number two, Albert Wesker. I fucking love him. I always pick him in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You tell me your number two, brother.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a lot to say about number two. And the reason I don't is because we don't know a lot about number two. That being said, much like Jill, she is inherently formative to a young, Dr. Rood. And that's going to be our dinosaur killing badass.
Oh my god.
Regina from Dino Crisis.
I knew she was going to be brought up. I'm just glad it wasn't me. I'll just edit that right there. I'm glad she was mentioned. Also, Dino Crisis 2 is fun as fuck. If you could if you could find a way to play that, you are doing yourself a disservice, cuz it is just balls to the wall, just shooty shooty blam blam, and it's fun.
Yeah. 100%. We've got some like recycled formulas here, right? Like we have a badass female special forces member who is a part of a acronym special forces team. In her case, it's SORT,
right?
Secret Operation Raid Team.
Props for knowing that one. Props.
Again, I love Regina. She's also the only character in the game, like the only protagonist in the game, who we never find out the last name of. We never find out Regina's last name.
I always thought it was, oh, Regina Hall's the actress, sorry.
No, actually we don't, it's actually pretty, it's assumed that Regina isn't even her actual name.
Ooh, Laura.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, yeah, I mean, the cast of Jurassic Park wishes. Like... If they would have had her on board, like every movie would be 10 minutes long.
That's true. Although there'd be a shit ton more confusing puzzles.
Yeah.
The only thing I could say about Regina is the same thing you could say about Jill, is that Shinji Mikami really hates like weak female characters. And that's why Rebecca barely gets seen. Like he didn't do anything with Zero. Because he didn't like Rebecca as a character. But he likes his strong female characters. And you don't get that without Jill or Regina.
And also, Regina's outfit, just, you know, linking my two ladies here. Regina's outfit is an unlockable outfit for Jill.
Exactly, in the OG3. And let me tell you, that shit looked real fucking good. Mm-hmm. On PS1, that shit looked real fucking good. So, my number one is...
Go ahead.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, that's right. Honorable
mentions. You have no honorable mentions?
I do, actually.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay.
So my honorable mentions are going to be kind of like Spitfire.
Sure.
First up, Edward Carnby from Alone in the Dark.
Oh,
specifically,
okay.
The new Nightmare. Because that dude is fucking insane, and he looks like a ripoff of every Rob Liefeld character from the 90s.
Okay.
Because he has pouches and just long hair and a black long trench coat and a gun that shouldn't work. It is a dual-barreled, dual-cylinder revolver that doesn't, that shouldn't work, but it looks so fucking cool.
Right.
Anyway, I also really like my two boys from Resi 3, Mikhail Victor, who went out like a badass throwing a grenade and on fucking Nemi. Get off my train, shitbird. Okay. Also, I don't want to live in a Carlos-less world. Try saying that 10 times fast. I fucking love Carlos. As you and I, we're both Latin. We don't get a lot of Latin rep in PS1 days. So for our Latin boy to not only that hook up possibly with Jill, our girl, it's like, fuck, true. We have a chance. We have a chance. Oh, man. And lastly, I mentioned her brother. Of course, I'm going to bring up Claire. I have to bring up my girl. Always for the Resi 2 playthroughs. Dude, I'm a co-host of a fucking Resident Evil podcast. This shit was always going to be filled with Resi characters.
That's valid.
But yeah, Claire, I love you, babe. You deserve better. You deserve somebody that appreciates you, and it's not Leon. Leave Leon behind. And my number one is your number four, brother. It's Jill. Oh.
All right, fair enough.
I don't give a fuck, dude. That's one. That is definitely one girl I've considered getting a tattoo of on my leg, but with her with the Samurai Edge pistol, and it's the back PS1 cover. She is so fucking cool to me as just a character. Everything she did in Resi 1, the Master of Unlocking, and the fact that she gets to wear a beret and her outfit made no sense.
Gets to wear a beret. Oh, what, you mean the shoulder pads with like on a t-shirt don't make sense?
Yeah, these huge ass shoulder pads. Like she's going out there being a linebacker for the Dolphins in the 80s.
Like, why are her shoulders so in need of protection versus her chest?
Right?
Like, why?
Weird. But that's our girl, man. Like, she forgives Barry for his betrayal, knowing what he was going through. She defeats Super Tyrant, and sure, she saves Chris in her story. In Resi 3, she actively tries to save as many people as possible in Raccoon City. And she saves an Umbrella mercenary team that was left behind for dead. So, you know, fuck it, man. And I don't know about a lot of characters that could survive Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's feats alone. I don't know if a Leon could. I don't know if Chris could. Come on, man.
You know Chris could.
Okay.
Chris would fucking fist fight Nemesis.
Chris is plot armor infinite. Yes, that's true. But you know, I just can we get her with another game? Could we get her in Resi 9 since they're writing the script for 9?
She's been in rehab since the end of 5.
Yeah, bring her out.
So it's time. Yeah, it's time to take her off the bench.
And you know what? I'd be fine with a Jill Leon collab, but I would murder somebody for Jill Carlos. Bring Carlos back. We need to bring back some of these one-note characters that never came back.
No, dude. Just give me a Jill Claire game.
Oh, speaking truth. I would like a Jill Claire game. Because Claire, the last thing she had was Revelations 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, your number... Oh, give me your honorable mentions. Yeah.
So I really wanted to get these two on the list. But one, there's not much to say about him. It's going to be, you know, the liberator of free men. It's Gordon Freeman. But the whole point of Gordon Freeman is that he is like the quintessential silent protagonist. He is the self-insert, you know? Like,
right.
He's a scientist. That's basically what we know about him. But the undeniable, like, impact of Half-Life games is huge. Anyway, and the other one, and this one I kind of want to get into on a deep level, maybe not this character, but the game that he's from, is going to be Paxton Fettel. Paxton Fettel is the secondary antagonist through most of the Fear series, and a playable character in Fear 3.
Oh, shit.
Okay. But
Yeah, fear doesn't get enough mention on this show. I will say that.
And legit, so in the game, he's the son of this entity called Alma. The lore behind Alma is maybe some of the most fucked up lore of any video game character.
Damn. Even more than Alyssa from Silent Hill?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. Oof. Yeah, it's super fucky. My other two honorable mentions are Strelok, who is the primary, also known as the Marked One. That's the primary character in Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl.
Whoa, I didn't even think about Stalker. Good
fucking
Lord.
Love the Stalker games.
Those are hard, man.
Yeah. And then Edward Pierce, the primary character in the Call of Cthulhu game.
Nice.
I mean, good. I'm a Lovecraftian fan, but for the record, fuck H.P. Lovecraft. He's a piece of garbage. Nonetheless, the stories he wrote were fantastic. Getting to play in Lovecraftian Boston as Edward Pierce was a really cool experience. And the way that... Oh, it doesn't matter. We're getting too into it. All right. My number one, and this should come as no surprise, since I'm literally marked with his tattoos, is going to be Jack Ryan, the primary antagonist of BioShock 1.
Nice, good pick. I will say I'm a little surprised you didn't have Isaac Clarke in your mentions.
I thought about him too, but Isaac Clarke almost approaches this level of being too badass for me to consider him like a horror, like he's an action protagonist to me. I know that those games are horror games. I get it. But Isaac himself almost is never like, I don't know. Like
he's Chris
Isaac
Redfield.
And,
I get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isaac and Doom guy are like, Doom irrevocably has, or in a, like obviously has horror elements, but I wouldn't call it a horror game. Because
it's a horror.
Doom guy's definitely not afraid.
No, it's a horror for everyone that you're...
But yeah, yeah, exactly.
That you're killing.
It's a horror for the demons.
That's yeah.
Isaac, that's how I feel about him. Like, I love him, and I love, you know, like, a scientist being a badass, as obvious by Gordon Freeman. But again, I feel like Isaac almost approaches that level of badassery.
But with your
Jack,
number... Yeah, your
Jack
number
Ryan.
One.
Jack Ryan is, first off, we've already said that we're talking about spoilers for these games. The twist in BioShock 1, where you learn that the man that you've been helping, who goes by the name Atlas, and also, first off, you assume so many things about yourself. You crash in this plane, you, by serendipity, found your way to this place called Rapture. You get to experience this capitalist nightmare, and you're helping this guy, this Irish guy named Atlas, to reunite him with his family. And the entire time, he's asking you for favors. Would you kindly do this? Would you kindly do that? Would you kindly? Only to find out that none of that is true. All of it. Everything you know about your character to that point is false. You are in fact not some random guy named Jack who's like a fucking accountant or whatever. You are the son of Andrew Ryan, the guy who fucking created Rapture. You also are like a baby that he had with a prostitute.
Oh shit.
That ended up getting sold to like some scientists who then injected you with some shit to rapidly age you. Like by the time you're 1 year old, you have the physicality of a 19-year-old.
Oh my god.
And then you are imprinted with this fucking mind control phrase that is, would you kindly? So you've just been a fucking puppet for the entire game up until this point. And that twist is something that rocked me to my core. I didn't see it coming. And I typically do. And I just didn't. I knew something was up with Atlas, but the twist of you being a puppet the whole time is insane. And then everything you go through in order to get like your payback is crazy. You literally turn yourself into a monster. You turn yourself into a big daddy in order to get to Frank Fontaine, who was the true... He's basically a guy who didn't like the way Ryan was running things. He's just a fucking criminal. Whereas Ryan is like a capitalist criminal. Frank Fontaine is like your more run-of-the-mill, like, mob-type criminal. and he just wanted to fuck Andrew Ryan over, and what better way to do that than by controlling his freaky, malformed clone son. And then, to top it all off, I feel like this game provides you with, like, one of the most rewarding and yet simple moral choices in video games. Which is where you can either get a lot of power now, but basically kill little girls to do it, or do an investment in your power for later, get some power later on, save little girls in the process, and affect your ending of the game in doing so. Mm. And that, like, I feel like, don't get me wrong, it's not the first game to do, like, multiple endings, but for me personally, it was one of the first games where it really felt effective. Like, it really felt like the ending of the game is mattered. A direct consequence of my actions.
Yeah. And that's definitely rewarding.
Yeah. And as a result, the ending you get to watch of how Jack's life ends, it hits, man. Like, it hits hard. Like, in the good ending, you literally, like, die an old man surrounded by the adult little sisters that you saved along the way. Like, you got them all out of that capitalist hellhole, and they all got to, like, live, like, lives as full-on adult women, and, you know, they saw you as, like, a father figure. And that's a beautiful way to end that. And then the evil ending is awful, and I won't talk about it.
And we don't have to.
Yeah.
But I want to say, it's been a great show. Can you run your list one more time?
I sure can. That's going to be Pyramid Head at number 5, Jill Valentine at number 4, William Afton at number 3, Dinosaur Killing Badass Regina at number 2, and Jack Ryan at number 1.
I got 5, Aya Braia, 4, Chris Redfield, 3, Heather Mason, 2, Albert Wesker, and number 1, Jill fucking Valentine.
Very, very good.
I hated the Death Island movie, for example, that came out on Netflix. It was like some shitty animated movie, but they got one thing right. All the other pro tags were like, that's Jill. Like, fuck it. Oh. She's going to save us. That's Jill. That's just Jill. Yep. Where can we find you, Unicorn Metal, Dr. Rude?
For now, you can just hit me up on Twitter. Or, sorry, X.
That's still a thing?
I don't know. I'm at Dr. Rude MD on there. Right. And, you know, maybe something else in the near future.
Yeah, maybe. Fingers crossed on that. Thank you all to all that are listening, and hope to see you guys hopefully at Nightmare Weekend in Des Moines, Iowa, September 27th, I believe. See you there. Bye-bye.